Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jay King. Welcome to my show, The Way I See It. With me is my co-host, Robert Redwine.
Hello, global internet world.
Yes, this is a global internet world, and hello to you. Robert, you know, I just had a birthday. My birthday was last Thursday.
I know. I called you.
January 27th, 49 years old. Feel good. Feel great just getting back from France. Anybody who was on my Facebook, you guys followed me, you got a chance to see me in McDonald's. You know, Robert, do you know what they did to me at McDonald's?
What's that, King Jack?
They stopped me from filming.
Why?
I don't know, Robert. I can't speak French. All I know is I know how to stop some shit when they say stop, because, you know, when you're in a foreign country and they tell you to stop, you ain't asking why.
You should have said parlez-vous français.
No, I didn't say nothing. I stopped. I did exactly like they asked me to do.
Yeah, you didn't want to go into...
Huh?
You didn't want to go into the French embassy and be detained, huh?
I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to do nothing except for what they asked me to do. And that's exactly what I did. I did what they asked me to do. I stopped, and I sat down and started filming again because I'm black. But I did it in the privacy of my film tube. So I posted it up on Facebook, and everybody got a chance to see it. And I'm going to be posting more stuff on Facebook from the trip. If you guys get a chance, Robert, do you know that I paid $6.57 for a freaking Sprite?
You're lying, Jay.
No, and I'm pissed off about it because they got me. They tricked me because, you know, I needed something to drink just to wake me up so I would sleep on the flight.
Yeah.
I was getting tired just sitting there because I'm no travel agency. So I booked my own ticket trying to take care of myself like a ding-dong. and so I had a seven-hour layover from Munich back to the United States.
Wow.
So I had to get something to keep me awake. So I go and get this Sprite. I'm looking at the bottle right now because I still have it. And the reason why I still have it, Robert, is because I paid $6.57 for it. It was $4.50 in euros.
Uh-huh.
And a euro at in the airport. Let me tell you guys how exchanging money, whenever you're traveling overseas, do not exchange money from anything other than a bank. Use your ATM card, take it out the bank, or use your credit card. Because when you're in the airport, they charge you even more. So for 200 euros, it cost me $271 when I took it out of my ATM card.
Wow!
But when I was in the airport, it cost me $292.
Wow.
Okay. So
$21 mark.
Yeah. Yeah. So the bottom line is this, you guys: when you're traveling, use your because we're dealing strictly in euros, and in most of Europe, with the exception of when you're in the United Kingdom, you're dealing in pounds. The euro was beating the dollar upside the head.
Wow.
But let me tell you what the pound is molesting the dollar.
Wow.
Yeah. And but it was a wonderful trip. I had a good time. And I will say this to black women with weaves: I have a lot of respect for you all, because I seen the weave in France.
Well, it's not glued on right, Jay.
The weave in France is not attractive, Robert.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, don't fool with that weave in France. Okay? Because the weave is half weaved on, and then the nappy hair is part hanging out too.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
And it's not attractive. And what it did, though, what it made me do was really respect sisters and the weave and the kind of work that is put in on the weave. No, I'm serious. I have a lot of respect for
yeah.
the work one must put in to make the weave go down.
Yeah.
So I love, so where I used to hate on the weave, I'm not hating on the weave anymore. As a matter of fact, I'm asking ladies in the United States, please, please, if your hair look anything like what I saw, put that weave on, keep it on, and if I date you, I'm going to love the weave, and I will run my fingers through the weave just like it's yours, and if I... catch hold of something, I won't even make a sound, I won't say nothing, I'm going to do nothing, I'll just act like nothing even happened. All right. What else? What did you do this weekend, Robert?
What did I do this weekend? Well, a cousin of mine, her and I, we had dinner and talked about life and reconnected and built. Her husband is in for a heart transplant, and she's taking it real strong and with a lot of faith and doing good. So, you know, pretty much watch the Discovery Channel most of the weekend about prophecies of, you know, Leonardo da Vinci and Nostradamus, God bless people. Then I went to the movie. I went to go see The Right, Jay, Anthony Hopkins. Excellent movie. Excellent.
Okay, little Satan. All right, so let me say this to you all, and I'm completely serious when I say it. Your health is important, and the older we get, the more important your health is. And whether you hear me today, tomorrow, or next week, it don't matter. You better hear me. If you're walking around here and you squiggly wiggly and you know who you are, you better do something about it, because I promise you, life don't last that long. And if you're going to live in this Mickey Ficky, you better make it the best of it. You better have fun doing it. It better be the best thing that you can do. Because if you don't, you will live a miserable life. I was talking to a friend of mine, and thank God I'm me. Because after speaking to her, I'd have killed myself. I told her, I said, you know what? She was telling me she victimized herself so much. I told her, I said, you have been victimized. And she said, I know, I have. I said, by you. You have victimized yourself. You are so busy pointing at everybody else. A man ain't done nothing to you. Man ain't done nothing. As a matter of fact, I'm disappointed in him for even staying with you as long as he did. She got really upset with me.
Well, you got to have encouragement in being hard on someone, Jay.
I'm not being hard. I'm being honest.
Well, you can be honest, but you still got to throw some encouragement somewhere in there, Jay.
And the encouragement is, you know what? Don't bring your shit to my stool. I got my own shit to flush. I don't need to flush yours, too, because you stopping up my toilet. That's the encouragement I got.
Okay.
So today, you guys, we're talking about relationships, man and woman, conversation. What's wrong with the conversation? I got my good friend with me today. You guys know him. Richard, how you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm doing well, Jay, and happy belated birthday.
Thank you so much, sir.
Hi, Richard.
You're
Richard Robert said hi to you, and if I was you, I would. I understand if you don't want to say hi to Robert. I understand he is a turncoat. He's going to turn around two or three times during the course of this conversation.
How's it going, brother?
It's going great up here in the great Northwest, Richard, of Seattle, Washington, Internet
super.
Capital of the world.
Oh, super.
Richard, I was just telling Robert, I don't know if you heard me, that I was talking to a friend of mine over right before the weekend who was telling me, she was telling me how victimized she was. I told her that she had been victimized, and she said, I know, told her she victimized herself. She got really upset with me. Why do women victimize themselves and then blame it on us?
Well, that's true. We're going to help them with this. And those who are willing to listen to good guidance and enlightenment, they can unvictimize themselves.
Yeah. Now, but where does this thing come from?
Well, I think from what I see, just as an observer, sometimes just most of the time, rather, just an impartial observer, is that American society really doesn't place any requirements upon women. Now, I'm not saying that a lot of women aren't responsible, because thank God they are. But as it goes, and I can give you some good examples of where society, in every way possible, attempts to blame the man for everything. And so what it does oftentimes is allow the women's attributes to atrophy instead of grow stronger. So obviously we can deal with some of those and point out to women. They're very simple to do, by the way. It takes a slight attitude adjustment, but we can definitely show how women can enhance their own lives and stop being victims. Stop being a victocrat.
Let me ask you a question. How many relationships have you been in?
I've been in about two serious ones. I'm an admitted workaholic. I spend a lot of time working because I enjoy doing that. And also, you know, helping people. I consider what I'm doing right now a philanthropic effort. I'm sharing about real spiritual, truth-oriented ideas that can really go a long ways toward bringing about a harmonious interaction between men and women, should they choose to employ it.
Do you say should they choose to employ it, as though you, in a way, you don't really believe women choose to employ those type of actions?
Well, I tell you what, in dealing with people extensively on a personal level, I find that a lot of people become invested in their victimhood or their dysfunction, and so to uninvest in that takes quite a bit of a person, as it does to make any major, you know, life move. It starts with your head. You know, ideas are the fathers of actions. And so I also like to talk about critical mass or the notion of inertia. Once people see other people doing something that's successful, it is likely to catch on. So it's like when I said to you earlier, we need to really get women mentally equipped to know that they need to participate in the dating process by telling them they need a dating budget. Just like they have an automobile maintenance budget, or they should, they also need a dating budget, because that's part of their – that's an important part, rather, of their personal lives. It's a critical part, and they need to understand as equal, liberated, and free, independent adults that they need a dating budget.
Okay, good. You know, let me take this call real quick. 805-831, please state your name, where you're from, and your question or statement.
Hi, my name is Nina Hoffman, and I'm calling in from Los Angeles area. I am a therapist, and my statement is, as I'm listening to your show and I'm being inspired to say that I agree with both of you in what you're saying, and that the female, we're dealing with two different topics, two different subjects, and two different variables in those subjects. The first one is male-female dynamic and how that works together in a relationship. The second is the male and female and how the male and female identifies with who they are in society. And I think they're very much connected in that the male and the female, we sometimes in society choose to take on a victim mentality, irregardless of whether we're in a relationship or not. Sometimes that transfers over into a partnership. And I think it's important to recognize, like you're saying, Jay, not just to equip yourself to not be a victim of who your negative qualities and circumstances have been, but to equip yourself to be able to be in a partnership where your negativities will be recognized as strengths or and or help being assist to that, that point where they can be a strength in that partnership. And I think that's key. So rather blaming on male or females and working and you know, categorizing, which we tend to do in our society a lot, I think it's good to see the whole picture. And the whole picture definitely asks us as human beings to step up to a greater level of not being victims of our own reality. And I think that's the deepest topic that we're dealing with right here.
Wow. Okay, you guys, you know what? I'm going to come. See, we're going to get someplace today, Richard. I'm going to come right back. I'm going to play some music. My name is Jay King. This show is The Way I See It. And today we're talking about relationships with how do we learn to communicate in the same language, male and female. It looks like we're off to a good start because it seems that we have some smart people with open minds. I hope you all keep an open mind as we discuss this subject today. I'm going to be a bit up. And let me say this, ladies, whether you know it or not, men enjoy women. We don't enjoy women who act like dudes. Think about that. This is All About Your Love by Jay King.
I'm about to love.
That was Jay King, me, All About Your Love, for my next album, Helen's Son. As you all know, my birthday just passed, January 27th. It was also the same day that my mother departed this beautiful earth of ours 4 years ago. And my next album is called Helen's Son, because it's exactly who I am. And somebody asked me if I was sad. You know, they go into that that's when they go into that really low voice, Robert, you know, that, yeah, man, I'm sorry about, you know. And I laugh when people do that. I'm like, first of all, get out the low voice. secondly, don't be sad for me. My mother, I am fortunate to have known Helen. She taught me love, and she put love inside of me. And Helen really allowed me to blossom and to be a man and things that she didn't I left my mother's house at 14 because she knew that I needed to be with my father. And often I know women will use kids as a weapon in a relationship, especially towards the end of it. And in the chat room, when I said, B, you know, we men like women, we love women, but we don't want a woman to act like a dude. Somebody said, act like a dude, one of the ladies in the chat room, as though they don't know when they're acting like dudes. Richard, do you think women recognize when they are when they put on their masculine hat?
You know, Jay, that's an excellent question, and just reflecting upon, I guess, the way our society goes, sometimes possibly not, because we don't point those things out. And let me just say, everything we're discussing here, obviously, is under the rubric of communication. But
right.
Men normally aren't honest with women, unfortunately. That's very unfortunate. So, I mean, like you're saying now, you're pointing that out, that women can take on, quote-unquote, masculine behavior. And I'm going to define that as domineering, controlling, manipulative behavior. In other words, it's just not good. And so, yeah, you're right about that. But I think that as we open up this block of conversation to explain to women when they are behaving inappropriately, which I think is very, very apropos to use that term, we can, communicate better and more effectively. And I'm going to just throw this out, two things about how to enhance conversation. I know that's the part, that's the show's subject. But we can also talk about, if you like, how women can avoid men cheating on them, because I hear women often talk about that. They list that as a number one problem, and that's also related to communication, but we can tell women what they need to do to improve their communication, thereby connecting with a more compatible man, again, whereby they can communicate effectively and get the harmony and love and peace that they seek in a partner.
Now, Richard. First, before I get to this next question with you, I want to ask Nina. Nina, do you think women recognize that when they are taking on that dominant male type trait, or are they unaware of it?
I believe that it's really hard to categorize an entire species of females into one category, but on the topic, to answer your question, Jay, I really think of dominance as a form of protection. A lot of people become dominant in society and in their own personal lives as a form of protection, because we're all human, and we're all filled with emotions, and we're all filled with ways to have to survive in the world to protect ourselves. So if dominance is protection, I do see females partaking in that process. And sometimes they do, just like men, have an over-prowess and an over-protection thing going on. And I sometimes think that is because of their own inability to balance their own conception of their own balance of power as a woman. And whether that be because of their mate, whether that be because of their conceptualization of who they are, oh, yes, sometimes I do believe that they're aware of it. Sometimes I believe that they do not. They're not aware of it.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, you answered it quite well. Anybody who wants to call in, you guys know how this works. 347-205-9366 if you're on your computer and you're not in the chat room or on a phone line. If you're in the chat room and you have a question, all you have to do is type it into the chat room and, you know, and I'll ask the question for you. If you're on a phone line and you have a question, just press the number 1. And when you press the number 1, your hand will raise. And at that point, I'll get to you on the question. Let me see. Gab says, I picked poorly, and I alone take responsibility for that. That was in the past. Now, a different story, a different day. I learned, nurtured me, added water, planted a better seed. Then she says, what are we deeming by acting like a dude? Domineering and manipulation is ugly, be it man or woman. As a man, and this is just my belief, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong, maybe I'm a chauvinist, and if I am, I will admit to it because I always say I am. I just think that a man and a woman are two different beings. You know, as a man, there's a power and a strength in me that I don't have to speak about. It's in me.
Yeah.
I'm domineering and dominating because I'm a man. I'm not just a man. I'm a king. And any woman who's with me is going to see me as such, or she's going to have a problem in her relationship with me. Is that the wrong attitude for me to have, Richard?
I'm sorry, Jay. Goodness, I was reading the chat room. Would you please repeat that?
You know what, Richard, I don't know if I will or not. Richard, you got to pay attention to me.
I know, but these chat room things. Okay, I shall. Please repeat.
I said, I can't repeat verbatim what I said because it came off the top of my head, but in essence I said that I'm domineering and dominating as a man. I'm a man. And being that I'm a man, it's just innate in me to be dominant and to be domineering in a sense that's what men do. That's the power that we have. And I'm not just a man, I'm a king. And as a king, that's what's going to take place. Is that
right?
The wrong
attitude? I got you.
Is that the wrong attitude for me to have?
Well, let me say this. We get into the old nature-nurture controversy, and it goes like this. We are a great part of who we are socialized to be. Okay, and it's fine for the man to have a bit of a quote-unquote domineering in terms of taking control. Let's just put it that way. But a woman can also do that. But I think when a man and a woman meet, which merges with the topic we're talking about today, is how do they communicate? How do they be themselves? And, you know, there are women today that are very powerful, airline pilots, doctors, I mean, you name it, astronauts, lawyers.
We have a pilot, Phyllis, the one you called a five-reason dragon a few weeks ago. Phyllis is a pilot, you know, she's not a commercial pilot. I'm talking about, armed forces. She fought in wars and stuff like that. She's no pushover.
Right. No, that's exactly my point. So it's almost like two raptors
making
love.
Go ahead. Even with that, the dominance of a man in a relationship, regardless of what my woman does, the king in me is just dominant, don't you think?
Because it's like porcupine making love. They have to do it very carefully because both of them are equipped with very powerful quills. So what men and women have to do is, like I said, they have to sit down and communicate the nature of their relationship or the center and circumference, if you want, of their relationship. And we're not doing that. We're going assuming a body of knowledge. We're just saying, I'm this. Well, that's fine that you're that, but let's talk about how your that can participate with my this in a harmonious way. So that's if there's one message that I want to convey, it is we need to communicate how we're going to behave within the dyadic union. See, we need to do that. We can't just automatically assume that this is the way it's going to be. No, that would mean you stay by yourself. If you're going to be with the other person, and this is important for both men and women to know, we need to communicate how that is. And the thing of it is we don't know how it is because we've seen all the relationship wrecks as a result of people presupposing or assuming that they could just be a certain way. And this is why I invite women to the negotiating table. Let's talk about dating. Many women say they want to date, say, for example, traditionally. What's more traditional than a walk in the park and a bottle of water? That seems to be quite traditional to me. Mm-hmm. It's uncomplicated. It's unstressful. It's not sophisticated. It's easy to do. And, hell, it promotes communication.
And Robert can afford it.
Go ahead.
I said, and Robert can afford it.
I afforded a movie this weekend, Jeff.
But, you know, that's the thing we want to say to women. You shouldn't date outside of your budget. I dated several women once, but just one I can think of. I dated her. We had a great date, fantastic date. She even wrote me such that it was good. She said, however, but I paid for myself, and if we're going to spend time together, you know, I can't do that. You're going to have to do that. Well, of course, we never dated again, obviously. But the
Richard, you didn't want to pay.
Well, I didn't want to pay at that time. I didn't feel that it was right.
You don't want to pay to play. You don't want to pay to play. You don't want to pay to play.
No, no. If you pay to play, listen to what you're saying. You're describing prostitution. You're describing prostitution. You shouldn't. We should be, if you reduce a relationship to a financial transaction, then there's no place for love.
Okay, hold on. Let me ask a woman. I got Nina. She's pretty smart. You can already tell by the way she's talking with her. Nina, why do women expect us, why do we have to pay to play?
You know, I don't know if I really understand the whole concept of pay to play.
What I'm saying is this right here. Why is it that if a man and a woman goes out, the assumption on a woman's part is that the man has to pay for the date, and if he's not, the first thing they say is he's cheap.
Right. Okay. I do hear this is a common societal thing that happens, and I do really believe that, you know, a lot of women, there's a lot of women that do expect the man to pay, and if they don't, the men are considered cheap. But I think it really has to do with the whole power play thing. I mean, if a woman is really confident in what she does and loves the man that she's with and wants to spend time with him and work with him, and, quote, to relate back to what – I'm sorry, I forgot your name. You're
Richard.
Speaking – Richard, yes, Richard, about finding a good didactic communication between a couple. That's absolutely important to understand the power play. So, yeah, no, I mean, women don't want to necessarily date a man and have him pay for everything all the time. And if they do, then there's something wrong with that woman. Because I believe that this society has empowered women to be strong and loving and giving with who they are. And I think that in a truly enlightened, now we're going into spirituality and philosophy, a truly enlightened person and or woman will want to give and take in a relationship. And I think it's really those people who are insecure that want to point the finger and say, that man is cheap because he's not going to pay for my meal. You know, that comes from a lot of insecurity, I believe. A lot of my girlfriends are insecure that treat men that way. And also, I sometimes think it's important to date within your same socioeconomic group because you know, in doing so, if you date within your same socioeconomic group, then you kind of have a common understanding of what you both make, yada, yada, yada.
Hold on one second. Hold on. I'm sorry. Hold on. Robert.
Yes.
Robert.
I'm right here.
Wake up. You
know
what?
Here.
I'm putting you on mute. You snoring, Robert. Robert was snoring.
Yeah, was I making you bored? I'm sorry.
No, no, you're not making him bored. Let me explain something to you. I just put him on mute, okay? I apologize. Nina, this is your first time on our show, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Okay, let me explain something to you. There's two sides to this show. There's a very important side to the show. Somebody really smart. Somebody very articulate. And up on the game, and that's me. And then there's a ding-dong on the show. That's a, there's somebody who actually this show was supposed to go to another level on a bigger station, and they listened to it one day, and Robert was on the show cooking hog maw, and this is a true story, and fish lips, and he was listening to T.D. Jakes during the show. And so the people that were listening, they never called me back. I find out a month or two later that Robert was a turnoff.
Mm.
And so I'm stuck here on Blog Talk Radio, and I apologize, okay?
No, it's fine. It's cool. I'm enjoying the show.
You don't have to enjoy it. I'm telling you right now.
I love conversation.
Yeah, well, trust me, with him, I don't know if you call it a conversation, but you can call it whatever you want. carry on to what you were saying. I apologize for that. Robert literally was asleep during, but he's done it. He's fallen asleep on me several times, and everybody on the show is used to it by now.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I think that sometimes, I think sometimes when you date outside your socioeconomic group, which means you're dating someone that makes more money than you, and, and I think that for women, sometimes it's that we commonly understand that that man can, quote, take care of us, and that is something that if you just look at a relationship from what you can get from it, you know, that's not a good thing. If you love a man, you love someone in a relationship, you want to learn how to work with them, and I think that's.
But I think men are more likely to date outside their socioeconomic group than a woman is. I think women feel like if a man doesn't have enough money, that he's not attractive. Wouldn't you say, Doctor? Richard.
Oh, absolutely, and that's the next point. I think that. That Robert situation. Anyway, I think men, women, there's a term called hypergamy, and that means basically to date up or upwardly. The thing of it is that, and I'm going to say mainly men have brought society forward to where women actually can be equal today. In terms, if you think about a forklift, you know, a woman can drive a forklift. And so, men have done a tremendous amount to create an atmosphere where women can be equal. So if you talk about dating...
Do you agree with that?
I cringe
agree with that?
When I believe it's Mia or Nia?
Nina.
Nina, do you agree with that?
When she said that...
Yes, I do.
Okay.
That we should date within our socioeconomic class... You know, I know some blacks do pretty well, but as a group, I think blacks don't have the kind of wielded kind of economic power that they could, that we could, and it's because of this disconnect between the man and the woman, I believe, fundamentally. But as you said, Jay, men date outside of their socioeconomic class all the time, and... women should do the same thing because men are more concerned with a woman that they can relate to than whether they can date the man's pocketbook or date the man's wallet. So that's why we need to unmask. That's why we need to unmask these harmful divisions among us and demonstrate more clearly what direction we need to take. I talk about James Evans as a man that would be suitable for any woman to date because you aren't presenting a professional resume. You're presenting your personhood to be loved. You're presenting yourself as a person.
Okay, you know what? I got a couple of calls to take for you guys because people are probably asking you guys questions. I got to tell you guys, I do a show also Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on Hip Hop National Radio. So if sometimes I give the wrong I give the wrong area code. Please forgive me. If you want to call in on this show, it's 347-205-9366. Thank you, Phyllis. 347-205-9366. We have a couple of calls. Before I take the call, though, I had somebody text in. Is it okay to call your business partner honey, sweetie, baby, or babe, stuff like that? Is it okay for that? Or, you know, why is that a problem in the mark in a job place, Nina?
You know, I think that it depends on the relationship of those two people. If the woman is obviously posing that as a question, maybe in some way or another she's feeling that that's threatening to who she is as a person. Now, if that's the case, I think that she needs to take that into a context of conversation with the person that she feels calling is babe, or that is in some way offensive. I do think that women that struggle for their power in the workplace do commonly not want to be called those things. But a woman of high position and power and authority, and not even necessarily by the title, but by doing so and who she is in the company, is not offended by that, because she can just turn the cheek and understand that's a projection of his own. And yes, I am using therapeutic terms, because I'm a therapist, to say that there is a projection of his own insecurities by having to label her in conversation and subordinate in a way to
him. Okay, thank you. And for you, Richard, you said that men have created an atmosphere of equality for women, but I have a text that says men have not created an atmosphere in which women are equal. Why do you think men have created an atmosphere that's equal for women? What do you think? What have men done to make women that women should feel equal?
Yeah, well, one of the greatest inventions of the 20th century, along with air conditioning and the sneaker, was the tampon. And Dr. Earl Haas created the tampon that greatly improved the lives of women while they're on their periods. So, I mean, if you just look at the inventions, period, it is basically male-created. And generally,
correct,
the top obstetrician gynecologist is a male, generally. And so in the area of medicine, science, I mean, you name it, construction, finances, men have made great strides to make that easy.
Well,
society in general. But let me say this, even with the car, at one time, take, for example, the standard shift transmission that was changed to the automatic transmission. And cars used to be such that you had to start the car with a crank on the outside of the car, and that broke people's shoulders.
So that's the equality that you're speaking of, equal in that sense.
Well, yeah, that's a major fact, by the way.
Not equal in pay, not equal in, you know, in respectability, you know, the way a woman and, you know, men and women are looked upon in the job force. I mean, you know, we still have a long way to go, wouldn't you say?
Well, let me address what you just said, Jay. Women do get equal pay. What we don't look at is the choices that women make. If women would get in the traditional.
Okay, you know what? We're gonna come back to that in just a minute. Sorry. I've had people waiting to talk, and I just want to get them.
Okay,
Dr. Phy, are you there?
Phil?
Dr.
Hey.
Phil?
Yes.
Please state your name, where you're from.
My name's Russell Jones. I'm from Detroit, and I think bitches make the best sandwiches.
What'd you say?
I said bitches and hoes make the best sandwiches.
Okay, I'm going to tell you why he just got put on mute, people, because silliness don't work here. Russell, I don't mind you calling in, buddy, but you are not going to be – this is a real discussion and a real conversation. So I'm going to come back to you again and give you a shot to say something intelligent. So let me go back to you. Now, what were you saying, Russell?
I don't like black people.
Oh, jeez, that's an idiot. Come on.
Yeah.
Wow, man.
Yeah. And you know what? Listen, Russell is an idiot, and I'm going to tell you what happened to people like Russell.
They die.
Not only do they get kicked off the line, you know, muted, I'm going to let him sit there and listen. Now he can't even talk in the chat room.
Let him listen. That's a good Let him get educated.
Yeah. He'll get educated.
That's great.
And listen, when you have a pea brain, there's only so much education you can get, though. Let me get 412. 412-278, please state your name, where you're from, and your question or statement.
Yeah, Jay, how you doing? Easy here. How are you?
I'm fine. Easy, how are you, sir?
Good, good. Well, you know, when I grew up, okay, I'm probably a little bit older than you. I don't know. Maybe I ain't. I don't know. But I'm thinking I am. You know,
I'm 49. I just turned 49.
A little bit older, not too much. But, you know, when I grew up, the girls didn't have the money to, to treat a guy. Okay, you know, I'm not insulting any women or nothing. I'm just saying that they did not make money, as much money as the guy. And most of the time they weren't working. I mean, really, an 18-year-old girl, 17-year-old girl wasn't working because they didn't have the fast food places, the Walmarts, the little places where you get the part-time jobs. And it seemed like when there was a job available, they gave it to the guy because they're under the mentality that the guy needs the money more than a woman. But that was just the mentality back then. And, you know, so, you know, when I used to date, you know, I paid only because if I didn't pay, then I wouldn't be going out because they didn't have the money. So, you know, it was a gimme. You know, you had to pay or you weren't dating.
But let me ask you a question today, Evie. Do you think that today women make a decent amount of money and you know, and they fought for a lot of different rights that they now have? Don't you think it's fair that they kind of pay on a date? Do you think it's necessary that every time we go on a date that, you know, like the first date, if I ask you on the date, shouldn't you be responsible for paying for it? I'm asking for the date.
Well, you should be able to fill out the situation. I'm not talking that kind of fill out, but you should be able to fill out the situation before you pop the question, do you want to go out? You should know what type of person that is. If you're interested in a girl, you're going to try to read her a little bit. You know, see, you know, what kind of girl is this? Is this like a self girl that like, you know, self-supporting and, you know, and would want to suggest that she paid or would want to go Dutch treat? You know, we used to call it Dutch treat. I don't know if you ever heard that expression. And to go Dutch. That's when you split the cost of the evening. And, you know, a lot of girls now, you know, they want to do it. And I think it is acceptable now for a girl to do that. And plus, I think they want to do that because they're not obligated. And just, you know, now the guy, on the other hand, you know, he should feel the same way that he's not obligated either. If he, you know, if he pays for him, she pays for her. I think that is a real good way to start out. Matter of fact,
to go Dutch. So you say Dutch.
I think that's a good idea for people that are dating right now, and you're just going to meet somebody. You pay for yours, she pays for hers, because there's nobody owes nobody nothing. And if it doesn't work out, you both walk away. You don't say, "Oh, that bitch got me for a dinner," or this or that, or he thought because he paid for my dinner, that I owed him something. Because you know, them thoughts always come up. So I think that it's socially acceptable, and I think it's, you know, I think that I would suggest to anybody dating for the first night or so, first two or three nights, you know, you pay your way, I'll pay my way.
I think the brother makes a phenomenal point. And, Jay, I want to recite my seven principles.
Hold on before you start reciting anything, Richard. Richard, come on now. You know I run the show. I'll get to your seven things. I want to get to Nina, what do you think? Do you think that do you agree that the first few dates should be Dutch?
I do think that that's a good way to go. Of course, it depends on the woman, what she is capable of doing. I think that what's really interesting is he really brought up a lot of topics. Women can do things. I think it's important for us to know that. But there's also cultural norms in our society that, as obviously this older gentleman is speaking, or believes he's older, sorry.
Older gentleman.
Easy, you never said how old you were. How old are you, Easy?
55, still alive.
Oh, yeah. You're still young.
So
you're a young man.
Oh, I'm 18. In mind.
That's the new 30.
We are in a way, we are birthed of this culture. So our cultural norms and our society set the tone of our interaction. And I think he brings up a point in that on many levels of stigmatization in many different variables and in many different ways, gender, in many areas. But the topic, I think it's interesting, of women in the workplace relates to whether or not we should pay or go Dutch, stuff like that. There's been a Taylorism of our work
And you know, once one thing is stigmatized and placed in history, it creates an inertia for a woman to either be able to exhibit her skills and or not, and be productive in doing so, and thus contribute to a fashionable way of dating, so to say, and a reciprocal manner.
But when you're
not empowered as a woman, when you're not empowered as a woman, and you feel stigmatized and you can't get a job or whatever, then that definitely, I think, you know, it relates into the dating schema of things, for sure.
I am uneasy not paying for a meal. Is that conditioning, Richard?
Yes.
I'm so used to paying for the meal that I'm uneasy not paying for the meal.
Yes,
that's certainly conditioning, and we are unconditioning people that feel that way now, because what's happening is you're feeling obligated to a person that, you know, as they say, doesn't know you from a can of paint. And traditionally,
I'm saying this. By the same token, I am standing in my manhood to the degree that I'm not going for none of the other stuff either. I mean, you know, I'm in charge of the relationship.
Right, but we've got to determine what really makes one a man or a woman, and mainly that's exercising adult behavior, appropriate adult behavior. What the gentleman said earlier, I believe his name was Russell, is true, but traditionally...
No, Russell. Russell was the one that said he didn't like black people. The man that you...
Oh, okay. What was the other gentleman's name?
Easy. I don't know. Easy, what's your real name?
Easy.
Okay, easy. That's fine. Well, what he said was true, but just to enhance up on that, when women didn't work, right, it was appropriate for men to pay because society had what you call a hard gender role distinction. But once women went, well, what would happen is a man would show interest in a woman, and a woman behaved adult-wise because the man would be the basis for her financial support. That's the way society was structured 50 years ago. So she took a man's approach seriously. She didn't take it willy-nilly dismissively the way a lot of women do today. And then she invited him over to her home, so he got to see what kind of woman she was. Was she a good cook? Was she a good homemaker? You know, these sort of things. And then if it was really important to them, she invited him to church, or they set out on the porch, as it were. But there were real things happening there. Now, women have turned this on its head primarily to say, now, you've got to ask me out, you've got to take me out, you've got to pay. No, that's not the way it was. And so we need to come back to the negotiating table, because obviously the model for dating is broken, and we need to repair it.
I'm going to take another question real quick, and I have to ask both of you guys, and you can think about this. Just when I come back, I'm going to get this question, and I want you guys to think about this. When do you think the breakdown of communication started, or had it ever really begun? But that's just for later. 770-864, please state your name, where you're from, your statement or question.
Hi, it's Phyllis. I'm in Georgia. Hello, everyone. Don't recognize this number, huh? Hello, everyone.
Hi, Phyllis.
Hello.
Hi. Hello. Hey, I want to go back to one thing when we were saying about a woman being more dominant. But I'm going to go to this point. Okay, when I go out, I have no problem sometimes saying, especially if I ask the person on a date, saying, you know, hey, let me pay for this. You can get it the next time. But then, in the same breath, that man may look at that as a being dominant trait. Why is that? You know, but you can't have it both ways. It's like, oh, you're trying to take away my manhood. No, I'm trying to pay for a meal, so we're not back here washing dishes.
I just answered you. He's insecure.
No, I was going on. I was debating on about it. So it's,
yeah, but why?
It's not
you,
just
well,
you.
Why? Let me ask you a question. Why would a man agree? Why y'all got to continue to debate on about something? He just told you what
finish.
It was, but you wanted. Okay.
I wasn't finished. That's why. And, you know.
That's what I'm saying. But if the answer is already there, if he says, you know, why do you need, why is it that you need to finish what you already found out?
Because there was two parts to my question.
Oh, okay. Well, you had, you only heard
so
one.
One part, right, so only one part was heard. So if you would allow me to finish.
Proceed, please.
Okay. The other part was, why is it deemed dominant, or what is it that takes away from, you know, if a woman takes initiative to say, let me do this, or can I do this? And you feel a little bit, just not just the insecurity, but why do you think that a woman's trying to be dominant at that point? Not just the insecurity.
I think she brings up a good question. Go ahead, Jay. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. What were you going to say? You said you think she brings up a good question.
Yeah, I think she brings up a good question is why are males insecure? I think that's your question, correct, in society?
Right.
I'm going to tell you why, and that's a good question. Let me tell you why men are insecure. Because there are a lot of women that have raised boys into men, and they didn't give them everything they needed because they didn't know how. And often, whether we want to say it or not, whether we like it or not, when a woman and a male relationship starts to disintegrate and there's children involved, and the woman isn't happy what has taken place, her first line of defense is to take the kids away. And when she does that, she starts using the kid as a weapon in her fight against the man in a relationship that has fallen apart, maybe because he cheated on her or whatever, or because he didn't work, or because his mama took care of him and built what she got a hold of. And next thing you know, now what you have is this man who probably had a domineering mother, and the insecurity started right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's been brought on to you.
Right. Well, Jay,
that's why the man is insecure.
Jay, what you said earlier, and I concur with that fully, is that that's the woman's choice. See, what happens is oftentimes women will choose men for superficial or inappropriate reasons as opposed to adult reasons, and they get these broken men, these men with low self-esteem, and then it's a battle to just be normal. If a man has full self-esteem and you say to him, I got this, he wants you to get that because
that's
he's
right.
looking for a quality woman who will differentiate herself in a number of significant ways, that being one, paying, and he rejoices in that because if he likes you, he's not going to take advantage of you. He'll get it next time. You see?
His value may not be the dollar. That may be your value, but his value may be the reassurance and strength that he puts behind you, and just knowing that you got a full man there. I applaud a woman that can make more money than me. As a matter
right,
of fact,
me too.
I hope she tell me to stop working.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get to another question. 707-655. Please state your name, where you're from, your question or statement.
Hi, Jay. This is Selena. Can you hear me okay?
Who is this?
Selena.
Oh, Selena. This is my cousin. Hey, cousin.
Hi.
Hey, cousin.
Hi. How are you? I kind of wanted to talk about the communication between a man and a woman because Jay raises a really good topic when he talks about him feeling conditioned to paying for a woman. I believe that goes and that comes from being raised by a woman and knowing how to treat a woman. Your mom taught you how to treat a woman. Therefore, when you get into a relationship, generally you're the one that's going to be paying. So, you know, not to bag on men that do not want to step up to the plate and pay for the first date, but, I mean, for me, I would question what kind of upbringing that they have. Because regardless of like it or not, our society has been structured in a way that, you know, men are put in particular situations. And even in even today, you know, we're still living on what has already been founded in history. So no matter how hard, you know, we try to change this movement or try to change this, it's not going to change.
Well, that's not true. 54% of the workforce are now women, and women can pay. So we don't have to live in the 50s. And that's just something that a woman will retreat to I'm not saying you per se, but who's attempting to exercise dominance. And see, the thing of it is, I'm a man who can tell you, I would like for you to pay first. I would like for you to not be squirrely, to be an adult female, buck up, step up, and pay first. Ask the man out, and you pay. Now, I say the perfect date is a walk in the park and a bottle of water. And if the guy likes you, he's willing to do that. What is happening is many women are skewing and confusing the whole concept, which should be basically simple, of getting to know someone. And we need to, like I say, unmask these damn harmful divisions and say dating should be simple. It shouldn't be expensive, nor should it be stressful.
I think Selena does raise a good point, though, and I think that she's saying that the male character doesn't just come from the family, but it also comes from our ingrained patterns in society is set for us, such
right.
as in society, if you're a man, society, you know, equals money, equals power. You know, it's commonly conditioned for us to see a man that makes a lot of money is powerful, you know, and
that's not going to change. Nina's correct. That's not going to change. We live in a patriarchal society. If we
what
live in
mean?
A patriarchal
Selena,
society.
It's changing
currently.
Already. Women
right.
and men,
he may be a man, but he's not
changing,
your man.
But it's going to take some time. I just think that it's going to take some time, and maybe
okay.
you're looking at another 20 years. But it's
no,
not
we want to
change
it right now. He may be a man, but he's not your man.
Hold on 1 second, guys. Somebody wants to come in. Either you want
okay.
to make a point, sir. Yes, I do. Okay. The answer to the young lady's question is that, okay, depending on the tone of the conversation that the two people are mutually having at dinner, that's going to dictate, in a way, who's going to pay, kind of, okay? Because, it's going to be, you're going to be addressing each other about different subjects and getting to know each other. It's going to come up in the conversation, usually, you know, who's going to pay, or if the guy's going to be insulted, if the girl will, or the girl will be insulted, if the guy will. You know, usually that's addressed. I mean, you know, I know when I go out, it's kind of like brought up, you know what I mean? But, you know, I'm old school now. You know, I'm like you. I would feel weird if I didn't pay, you know. I mean, you know, I'll go to a restaurant with people, and for some reason, I'm like a magnet. The waitress hands me the check every time. Never fails.
That does happen a lot, too. I do want
I mean,
to
I'm
say
talking
that.
About if I go
I've
out
seen
with,
that happen a lot.
If
I have
go out
seen
with
that happen
people.
A lot. I think it's because I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just want to say that I think that does happen a lot. The man gets the check, and I think that's a societal thing, as I've been saying, that society has delegated. And at the same time, I believe we were talking about earlier how there's been a control of women through the tampon, the manufacturing of the tampon. You know, you've got to have nice abs. You've got to have, like you referred to earlier, Jay, a girl's got to look good with a weave. Well, it's the same thing for a man in this world, that a man has got to make a certain amount of money. And I think that that's been a horrible thing to put upon men sometimes, because we can't identify ourselves through things like that at times. And making money does not make a man. I mean, recently I dated a man that had a lot of money, and he had no heart, and it got nowhere. The communication was nothing, and that was because we didn't start it with a walk in the park with a bottle of water, which is the way it should be. It should be natural. But so it is unfortunate in our society that for men there's been a twist. The tampon could be an analogy for almost how much money you make to a man, you know?
Well, we can change that right now. It doesn't take any time to change it for people who are progressive. And I disagree with Easy. I think if a man and a woman are going to have any sort of relationship, they need to discuss these important things before they go out to dinner. They need to discuss
money. You're going to discuss who pays the check before you go out to dinner?
Let me just finish this thought, if I may.
Hold on. I'm going to put everybody on mute right now so I can finish this thought. And everybody forget whose show this is. Robert, whose show is this?
King J.
Okay. Robert, do you know why I took you off mute?
Why did you take me off mute, Jay? Why did you take
you on,
me?
Because I had you on mute for a long time. You know why I had you on mute for a long time, Robert?
According to you, Jay.
Robert, no. You were asleep. I'm going to tell you, it wasn't according to me. I thought you were sleeping. AK texted me and said, is Robert snoring? Twice. Because you were asleep, Robert. Now, are you going midnight? It's Sunday. I know you went to church today. Are you going to admit that you were sleeping, or are you going to lie to me?
I'm not. I played the fifth, Jay.
Okay. You were sleeping, Robert. And that's not acceptable on the show. And you are the reason why men are being crucified by women right now. You single-handedly put us back 50 years. So let me say this, guys. I think part of what's happening right now is what needs to happen in order for us to be able to move forward and understand each other a little better. Man and woman have a different language. We say the same things. They have two different meanings. I think everybody listening will agree to that. Men and women don't see the same things the same way. And that's why it's important that we're having this conversation and that the dialogue that I think is healthy and it's very it is breathtaking to hear Richard and Phyllis and Easy and Selena and Nina and I would say Robert, but I'm not going to say that, and me. And we're all having a good conversation with each other and Robert snoring. And with that, I'm going to take a five-minute music break because, ladies, this is how we really feel about you all. This is the kind of feeling that we want to have when we're in your presence. This is Baby Love by AK.
Baby, I have been such a fool. It took me all this time to find out what it means. They say your wife comes first. I want you to know, I believe that.
Here we are together, walking hand in hand. Our romance has finally come. Come to me, 'cause I'm here waiting for your love. Hey. Now there's no more lonely nights. I'm so glad we done things right. So we're together in the sea, you and me. For
That was AK with Baby Love from the Just AK CD, available now at iTunes, Amazon.com, at AnthonyAKKing.com. If you don't have it, you should get it. It's a beautiful, beautiful album. We are discussing relationships, man and woman. How do we learn to communicate in the same language? And I got to tell you, I've done a couple of these shows, and every time I've done these shows, it always ends up in a screaming match. This is the first time that we've done a show like this, and I genuinely hear people conversating with each other and really are conversing, I should say, because I don't think conversate. Phyllis said that conversate isn't a word. Converse, is it? Which word is it that's not a word, Phyllis?
Converse. Conversate is not a word. Converse is the word.
Okay, converse. Thank you. I wanted to get it right. That's like somebody saying liked it. I liked it.
Yes.
So conversing. So don't you think we're having a good, healthy conversation right now?
And this is how it should be. It shouldn't be let me one-up you or anything. You can't get, you're not going to solve anything, or you can't hear each other if you're screaming. But if one person talks, the other listens, thinks about it, interjects, that's how it begins.
So let me ask you a question. What's the difference with Richard today versus Richard 2 weeks ago, when Richard is basically saying the same thing today that he said 2 weeks ago? What's so different today?
Number one, he's not calling me a fire-breathing dragon. I can laugh at it. But because he's not yelling, he doesn't have as much yelling passion, and he's allowing everyone else to listen, and then the point sits in, rather than if you scream at a person, they can't hear you.
But if I'm not mistaken, Phyllis, you all came on the phone lines last, the first, we just yelling at him. You guys came on. He didn't just come out. He didn't just say, you're a fire-breathing dragon. I mean, things happen. You guys said that he was backwards and all kinds, because he's in the chat room, too, whether y'all
mm-hmm.
see it, whether y'all see him or not. He's listening to, he's watching what you guys are saying to him, and he's basically at that point telling you guys exactly how he feels, and you all are in a chat room, you know, just chatting it up, but you guys never get on the phone to have the conversation. And when he said, you know, women say they're great conversationalists, but they never had a conversation, at that point it was right, because you guys were having a conversation amongst each other, but not with us, not with him. So I'm going to ask you and Nina this. Women are considered great communicators, or, you know, you guys communicate often, and you guys often say, you know, I want more communication, I want better communication with my mate. But you guys seem to control that, you know, the dichotomy of the conversation, how extensive or how shallow it is. Won't you guys take responsibility for the majority of that? And I'm asking both ladies.
Who wants to go first?
You can go first, Nina. Nina, are you there? Did she mute herself?
Or did she mute her?
Nope, I have her unmuted. She's right here. She's open. Maybe she's not on the phone. I'll leave her line open and just go to Dr. D. Dr. D. Richard?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think I did a good assessment of the conversation from the last time?
No, that was an excellent summary of it, sure. And I think you also answered it previously, where you said, and I appreciate this too, it's a natural progression that as we discuss serious issues, see, because they have an alpha male on the line now, and I know what should be done, and it's not going to change unless it needs to. But the fact of the matter is there's some changing that women should do and can do and, of course, will do. We just have to put them in the right situation to bring that about. And so, yeah, I'm saying essentially the same thing. And I have more hot-button things to say, but they are reasonable that we need to discuss also in terms of enhancing communication between men and women.
Yeah, and I agree. I agree that, okay, it goes both ways. For people to grow, and for relationships or even conversations, one does have to look at oneself and better oneself, because it's not all about me. It's not all about you. It's all about what can we talk about without yelling at one another, because we can't hear each other if we do that. But if you take and let a person talk, and then you hear them talk, actually hear them, and that's like moving yourself out of the way in all of your issues, then it can become great. But it's hard to do because everybody wants to be heard at one time. Oh, my voice is getting weak. Everybody wants to be heard at one time. And if you take the time, because listening is an art, you have to understand it's not just about all men or just about all women. It's about what can we do together? Can we listen to one another without someone saying, oh, you're taking over me as being a man? No, I just wanted to express something. Or if the man is saying, or the woman is saying, no, I just want you to hear me on this. If we can remove all of those force fields, I'll just put it that way. If we can remove the force fields and just be, just listen to one another, actually listen without having a pre-planned attack for a response, it turns out much better.
Let me see. I'm just, hey, beautiful is the communication on the show today. Wow. That's what I just got. And then communication is the best in every way. And I think, you know, I really believe what has to happen here, and you all tell me what you think. Are you back, Nina? Is Nina still off? Robert, this goes for you, too. I hope you – are you watching TD Jakes right now, or are you listening to the show?
Jay, I would like to touch on something real quick. You asked a question about Richard and why is it better. I think you set him up to set the pace to converse. And him being an alpha male, he really was able to, because before, when he came on for the first time about these subjects, it was a lot of women on, and then he came in. And
that's not true. That's not true. The women were never on the line. Richard was the first person on the line. Why don't you pay attention to the show when you're here?
I do, Jay, but it was
Richard
was not on
the line.
Richard was
the only one on the line. We had to cajole and harass the women to come on the line because they were just in the chat room, a chat room that you can't see.
Well, they were conversing in a chat room about the subject.
Yeah, and they weren't conversing. So Richard was the only one who was on the phone.
That's right.
So what else did you want to say, Robert? Because
but I do think it was good that Richard was able to come on the line and know that he was going to be part of the show.
Now let me tell you what I think it was. Let me tell you what I think it was. I think this is the first time the women stopped to listen.
And I think it's also in the approach, because I can tell you to kiss my tail and laugh about it, or I can tell you in a way where you're ready to walk through a phone and kiss, you know, kick my butt. But
only if it has chocolate syrup on it.
Oh, always. And a cherry on top.
Richard, let me ask you a question. Are you dating anyone right now?
No.
You're not dating anyone? Richard, what would you think if I got you on this show, we did a show just with you, about your philosophy, how you feel, and we let women call in and maybe make a date for you and just see how it goes. You get to pick a date. The women get to call in, and then they listen to you. If they find it interesting what you're saying, they can call in, and you guys go on a date and see how it works. A date of a walk in the park and water.
Wow. Hey, I'm a social guy, and because I promote that, that's part of my philosophy. Sure, I'm up to take my own medicine. Sure.
Okay, so that's what we're going to do, you guys. We're going to this next week coming up, our show is going to be about 15 minutes of fame, and is it worth the pain? Which, you know, we're dealing with this guy Ted Williams on the next show, and just what happened with him. Robert. And then the week after that, what I'm going to do is we're going to come back, Richard, and I'm going to give it a 2 weeks of promotions, so that by the time I come back, there'll be enough women. I'm going to do it on my Facebook, and I'm going to make a video of it and talk about it. And Richard, we're going to get you on some dates here and just see if women are really open to communication, because what I know is going to happen dealing with you, Richard, is that they're going to have to communicate, and maybe you'll give us some insight into, you know, into what's happening out there. Did Nina ever make it back? Nina, are you back yet?
Hey, okay. Jay, let me share this with you out of the chat room that really hurt my feelings. It's
okay.
Doc, wait a minute, I believe it's Dr. Dre. He says Richard needs to change.
Dr. D.
Oh, Dr. D? Okay. Is that a man or a woman?
Man.
That's a man.
Oh, okay. So I don't know what's up with this. But he said Richard needs to change in the heart and listen to open feelings. Now, you know, I could really go in on that. But how do we know Dr. D doesn't need to change in the heart? And what needs to change about my heart? I'm donating time to come here and talk about real spiritual and truth-oriented issues.
Okay,
What's wrong with my heart?
Somebody, let me. Dr. D, D, the barber, said, when someone says, and when he's talking about someone, he's talking about a woman. When a woman says, I just want you to hear me, doesn't it really mean just agree and concede to my point? Is that what that means, Phyllis, when a woman says
no.
that?
No, which is why I was saying, when you're speaking with someone or you're having a conversation between a man and a woman, you have to move self out of the way, because we do have a preconceived answer. It's already, you know, because that's the human part of us, be you man or be you woman. But if you really listen to what's saying and you think about it before you speak, then you're actually hearing what that person is saying. You know, because, you know, like it or not, we all, men and women, you know, get the shoulders up, hair standing on end because of what we think they're going to say. But if you just move self portion out of there and just really listen, or you don't resort to name calling or anything like that, and you
yeah, but when women say, I just want you to hear me, and, you know, is it, you know, are you guys trying to make us do what you want us to do? Because you got, you know,
no.
Women, you guys have these little tricky points that you guys have.
Well, I can't speak for all women. I can say for me, because I'm going to come at you straightforward. I'll tell you what I want or what I would like, or can we do this? You know, I'm not going to come sideways. I don't want to do that manipulation thing. I'm not a little girl. I know what I want, and I have
okay.
no problem putting it into words. So,
let me ask
you,
are you in a dating relationship right now?
Pardon me?
Are you in a dating relationship right now?
No, I have friends.
Now, that's interesting.
I'm interviewing. I didn't have time. I was never around long enough to have a relationship. I was in and out of the country so much, and there was things I was doing I couldn't say. So it made
okay.
it very difficult. It made it very, very difficult. So it was easier for me not to be in a relationship, because
okay.
it
you're
just
the pilot.
Did not work.
You're the pilot?
I'm Phyllis. I really don't like to get into my work. But,
oh, okay.
But yes, I'll put it that way, yes.
You control a lot of power, by the way. I love jet engines. But at any rate, Jay, regarding what you say, I call it face mask grabbing when a woman says, just hear me, and I date women, so I can speak somewhat ex cathedra regarding what women say, and I can translate it into English also. When women say, it's not what you say, it's the way you say it, and I just want you to hear me, yes, they're saying concede to what I want.
Oh, I have to disagree with you.
But you don't date women. How do you
know?
You're
right. You're right. But I can only speak.
I do.
You date women?
I've dated a woman before, yes.
Okay. Is what I'm saying true?
I think that what you're talking about, it's really interesting because, you know.
Is this Mina? Who
is
this?
This is Mina.
Oh, okay. You're back. Okay, go ahead.
Hi. Yes, Jay, I'm back. We're talking about what men have been taught, and we're talking about what women have been taught. And I think that we're talking about generation gaps here. Being a pilot, I'm sorry, I know you don't like me to refer to you that, but you're very lucky.
Please call me
Phyllis. I don't know your age.
Please call me Phyllis.
I don't know your age.
That's Phyllis.
Yes, please call me Phyllis. So, yeah.
Hi, Phyllis. Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I think that it's wonderful when we see women like you that actually have been able to step up in society and actually find a sense of form of power that is delegated to you, and you are honored for having that power. We commonly see in society, I believe, that men are supposed to take those roles of dominance, and they are taught power, and that that is good and useful to be used. Well, women, I think that, you know, it's very rare to see women in your age group have been taught power and taught that that is a good thing. I want to say that in disclosure, I'm in my early 30s, and I am the first generation. We're talking about culture here as well, but I'm the first generation woman, American woman, that's been taught how that power is a good thing and that I have it, and not to be submissive, and that submissive is not necessarily desirable. I mean, in America, we've grown up looking at posters of women, you know, and the desecration of our beauty in a way by, you know, our boobs hanging out here and there on posters for beers, stuff like that. You know, I mean, we haven't been taught necessarily how to use our power. And I look up to women like you that have been shown that and use it and are respected for it. And at the same time are picky enough to go out there and find a man that is comfortable with his own self and his own, what he's been taught in relation to his power and through his culture and in America as well, and how you use that power that you are shopping. I think that's kind of cool.
Because, well, I'm shopping because I got rid of the other one. Well, you know, that's another whole other topic. But it's
Let me bring in another woman. Let me bring in another woman here. Selena, did you want to say something?
Yes. I just kind of wanted to talk about our society in general and the history of, you know, our society. The fact of the matter is that we live in a patriarchal society where men have completely dominated our society throughout history. We've not had a woman president as of yet.
We did have a woman president. Yes, we did. Hillary Clinton was the president. She told Bill what to do, and everybody knows it.
That doesn't count. I think hers
is bigger than his.
No,
hey, what this lady may not be cognizant of, women exercise far more authority than men do. Now, men may be in a prominent position, but even those men are nothing more than lemmings, or they're nothing more than the men who carry out the will of women. So a few men have power. All men do not have power. On the aggregate, women have more power than men. The law supports that, and society in general. That's why it's so important for women to stop playing victim and become real adults.
I don't think that women play victim in our society. Until we get a woman president, then we'll shift to a matriarchal society. Now, to be
that's
honest,
meaning
well,
no, the president
on,
is meaning the president is nothing more than a figurehead.
Well,
why does
being
I can't
president,
even finish what I was saying. That there
because,
we go, the domination of communication right
I,
there.
Okay, but why does being president?
Oh.
Why does being president dictate, in your mind, what kind of society we're in?
Or a woman's power.
Social power. It's the largest form of social power. Can you tell me this? I have a question. Do you think that having a black president now has empowered the black community to make choices for themselves? So if that's the same and you say yes,
absolutely
yes,
not.
Then
it
no.
has not.
Oh.
Absolutely
oh.
it has not. No,
okay.
and, but you know, but I'm gonna tell you something. There are people that would like you to believe that because you know what we are sheep and parrots. We're gonna repeat what we hear other people saying. So because the powers that be believe if you say it enough, everybody will catch on and say it too, and people mm-hmm. follow what they see other people do, and that's what's happened. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately for us, especially amongst men folk, is mm-hmm. we've let people lull us into thinking that the power of being a king is backwards, and it's domineering and dominating, and that's not so. It's just fact. That's why a king is the king. That's why they're the king of the castle. So if I'm the king of the castle, but I'm still being manipulated by the woman because she controls all the things in the castle, who's really the power? We see it every day.
Example is a chauffeur and the person who the chauffeur is chauffeuring around, say like the rich person. An uninitiated person will think that the chauffeur is in control when the chauffeur is doing nothing more than following orders.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what I'm saying is that I think that if it were to be viewed that, you know, that certain people are getting, I think that the mass of society is not too intelligent, large masses, that's why we watch the news. I think a truly educated individual sees the gray area, and they read newspapers and stuff like that and books from other countries and do cross-parallel comparisons and different rhetorics and languages. And I think that what we're looking at here is we're really just looking at an unequal distribution of power in our nation between the sexes and between race in general.
This is what I got this text. I do agree. Some men do not have backbones. They need a partner who can tell them things, meaning be realistic, face the facts of life in every way. And that's coming from a woman. And I agree with her, too. There's some men that's made, they got little cotton balls. Unfortunately for me, I got orangutans. I'm a gorilla, orangutan, and elephant.
I think it sounds like you're the king. I mean, you're definitely a king in that you have taken the time to identify your power. And like you said earlier, there's a lot of men that are not taught their power. In a way, we haven't. And may I talk about the black community, even though I'm not black, but saying that, you know, in our history of a black nation, we have seen the power taken away from the black male.
Yeah,
and I think that, and then it's been given back to the black male. And it's been difficult for them to work with that power in our nation, not because of their own inability, because of the things that have been presented to them to use that as tools in their lives. And so
I agree with you. Yeah, and I agree with you for those that buy into that. But I have to say this. Nobody ever gave me nothing. Nobody ever took nothing away from me.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that was given to me, I had it. And ain't nobody ever taken it away from me, ever. And anybody that allows, and I'm talking to black men at this point, that allows somebody to make you think that they can give something to you or take it away from you, you have not reached manhood. You don't even know what being a man is. And you might need to hang out with me or my cousin or Richard or the crew that we hang out with, because I'm on man shit. Not today, every day, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, offensive to some, understood by most, because it don't change. And if you like it now, you're going to love it later, because it ain't going to change. Dr. D, you said something in the chat room that kind of baffled me. What in Richard's position do you think he need to change, and why?
All right. Good evening to the panel and all who are out listening. First of all, Richard, it's very understanding that everyone in any kind of relationship or past relationship have a lot of things to deal with. One of the most things that they deal with is hurt. Sometimes we don't get past the hurt even in the next relationship. And we use that relationship, whether it's a man or a woman, we use that to gauge the next person coming into our lives. Now, the funny thing about life is those people who are spiritual or want to be spiritual, become spiritual, they have to realize this. The most highest power of an individual relates to unconditional. And unconditional means allowing things to happen, not one time, two times, three times. But each time is a different overlay or an outlay of things. And what's meant by that is real simple. Each love is different than the first. and it's going to be different as time goes on, because we're going to learn more, hopefully, than we're going to learn in the past. And that's what I was saying to Richard. In his heart, it needs to change.
And I ask you, what in his heart needs to change? You said something that I didn't hear nothing. You just argued, just saying words. I don't understand what in his heart needs to change. I think that he's direct. He knows exactly who he is, knows exactly what he wants, knows exactly what he's saying. There has not been a gray line in his speaking. What needs to change about somebody who's speaking black and white in terms and what he's looking for? What about that needs to change? That's what I want to know. In your opinion.
Needs to change is, it has to be toned down. What has happened to him in the past has nothing to do with his future.
He has said nothing about
it. He does not want to change.
He has said nothing about a past. I don't know anything about a past, because when I'm listening to him speak, I don't hear anything that has to do with a past. What I hear is something that has to do with an ideology, with a way of life, with a way somebody I've been in relationships before where we broke up and it didn't end up the way I wanted it to end up. But I promise you, at no time do I feel victimized or did I get hurt to the degree where I harbor any kind of pain. As a matter of fact, I look at relationships, my past relationships, and I thank God for the kind of women that I've involved myself with. And then I go back to my mother, and I look at the kind of mother I had. I look at the kind of women I involved myself with that I had great relationships with, and I look at the women that I had relationships with that it wasn't so cool, but I knew it wasn't a real relationship. We just fucking and having a good time. Do I need to change any parts of that? I mean, I know exactly who I am.
People
know exactly who they are.
It relates to you.
Why do they need to change? What I'm asking is,
but
the
you
guy
understand
knows exactly.
What it relates to you.
And he understands what relates to him.
No, you're analyzing how it feels to you. Now, what I'm saying to you is this, and it's really
Let me ask Dr. D. I mean, I can only go by what I'm listening to. So the analyzation of Richard doesn't come from a painful past. I've listened to people that are in pain. I hear them. That's not what I hear. Dr. D, are you in pain? Did something happen to you in the past that makes you feel the way you feel?
I think
no,
that's
I'm
Dr.
Not in pain.
R. I mean, Richard. I'm talking to Richard.
I'm as happy as hell. In fact, I'm getting ready to go run as soon as I finish up with this wonderful, spiritually oriented show. And Jay, No. Nothing has happened in the past. I mean, obviously, I've experienced some things, but I'm a happy guy. Ha ha ha! Hell,
are you in a relationship?
Answer.
Are you in? No, he's not.
If I were any better, I would be triplets. The thing of it is, you are totally off base. And maybe if you apply that principle that you're using. Enough. They say a broken clock is right twice a day. It will apply to somebody, but not here. I'm talking about concepts and spiritual concepts and truths. That's timeless. I'm talking about principles and enhancing communication. And I'm animated. I'm passionate. That's what makes me human. I'm not
Sounds
an
like
automaton. I'm not
a
robot.
Sounds like a man to me. It just sounds very manly. It sounds very manly. And I think what's happened here is that in society we have gotten to the point where when a man sounds too manly, when he doesn't sound metrosexual enough,
it's scary.
It's something frightening about him.
Right, right.
Let me take this call. 206-280, please state your name, where you're from, and your question or statement.
E-Dog, Seattle. I just jumped in on the conversation, so I'm still trying to get greased up about what's really going on. I got some text about the relationship, but I don't know, what topic y'all on right now.
Okay, well, you had your hand up in the chat room. That's why you came.
Yeah.
You didn't mean to do that?
Nah.
Let me ask you a question, E. What do you think... How do you think the communication is between male and female today?
I think we speak different languages.
Why do you think that is? And do you think that the distance between us is getting closer or further apart?
I think that it's getting further apart. Society is you know, I would say raising women now. They got so much, you know, influence on women's lives today. And not only that, but just, you know, in general, TV and things that come out, the shows they portray and all that type of stuff make women kind of weaker, if you ask me. And, you know, and sometimes they think they're strong because now they're trying to dominate men. They're trying to tell men how the how life is supposed to be and how they feel like, you know, we should be and to them, and they just don't play their position no more. They want to play a little bit of our position, and I think that's killing, you know, society. Relationships are down right now. People are getting divorced like crazy, and I think it's because women are trying to take a man's position. And I know
now,
women ain't going to like me to say that.
When did you come into the show? How long you been on the line? 5 minutes?
5 minutes.
5 minutes into the show. And I just want women to understand this is the you know, because of your inability to communicate how you feel, what's really going on with you. Because you guys will do the, you know, nothing. It's nothing. You know, and then, or you guys will say something, and what you say isn't exactly what you mean. And then when we don't react to what you said, which is not what you really meant in the first place, you take an attitude with me because I don't understand what you meant. So when I left the house because you said it was nothing, now it's really something. And if you're confused, just get a load of me. Am I off base, Richard?
No, you're not off base at all. Look, first of all, let me just say this. This is a very spiritual conversation, and this conversation should be mimicked or duplicated all over Blog Talk Radio. But nevertheless, you say, how do we learn to communicate in the same language? Now, I have an answer. I say
okay. We
can both communicate spiritually and truthfully. I tell women to, and according to the same standards, I tell women to take the initiative, be friendly, approach clean-cut men, and initiate conversation. Pay your own way. This is at the beginning. And I said so that you won't be obligated or so that you won't be seen as stealing and pilfering. Number three, be reasonable. That's very important, and that means knowing the facts about you and about relationships. And I mentioned earlier a woman should have a budget, a dating budget. If she expects to date regularly, as we should, to get to know people, it's reasonable to have a budget so you can pay your way. Be fair. Being
now,
fair.
Let's say she's got a budget, Richard. Let's say she has a budget. But it's okay for me to insist to pay because that's what I want to do because I feel comfortable with that, right?
Well,
I think a man
should not insist on paying, and this is why. If you're interested in getting to know the woman, don't reduce it to a financial transaction. I've said many, many times, a bottle of water and a walk in the park. Those are good opportunities to enhance communication. But if you like the woman, and most women, in other words, go on a date that you can afford. If you like a woman, she can take you to Denny's. She can take you to, you know, fill in the blank. She can take you where she can afford. Let her do it.
But she got to be careful. She can't take me to no ice cream spot because if I eat some ice cream, I'm going to be pooping in.
You're lactose intolerant?
Yeah, I am. She in trouble, Mr. Bubba.
Hey, I understand. But be fair. That's the golden rule. That means having a heart, as Dr. D, I think, was attempting to say. But all of us need to have a heart. That's the golden rule. And it refers to a symbiotic relationship. It's symbiotic observance. And that's where there's the mutual benefit of both parties, not just one. The man is not just there to serve the woman and serve and service the woman. Number five is tell the truth. And again, that refers to the facts in the context. We don't like paying for you. That's the truth, and you should want to hear a man saying that. But a lot of times what women will do, they'll try to beat men down, and that goes back to what you said earlier, Jay, about women saying men don't listen.
that means they want the man to do what they want him to do. That's a form of control. Also, stop lying. I talk about generational and social lies. And again, I can apply the principle of men want to do all of these things for you. We want to do things for you if you're worth it. We don't want to do things for you if you're not. And what basically depicts or dictates if you're worth doing something for is, do you have an attitude of fairness? Do you have a good attitude? Do you have a loving, caring attitude toward us? We don't want to be generous toward a bee, okay, or a jerk in a female form. And I also say, basically, and all these principles go together, I say don't dare expect any more of a gentleman than you are willing to give. And I point out that you say to guys, and this is consistent with compatibility, you say to guys, if you don't show support for my practicing these communication and behavioral principles, then there's no sex and I'm not spending any time with you. And that is appropriate exercise of your control, of discharging your responsibility as a woman. And these are the seven results of practicing these principles for the woman who wants to grow and improve her relationship. Most likely you will occupy a man with someone that he's genuinely interested. Most men settle for what they can get in women because it's too hard to actually get the woman given the artificial barriers that many women put up. So
but should I blame the woman for me settling? Aren't I responsible for me settling?
Well, let me explain it this way. See, women are the gatekeepers of relationships coming out of one era and into the other. So women have a role to play in terms of the fact that if women don't initiate, if women sit back and play a controlling game, I call it only exercising veto power as opposed to original choice power. If women only sit back and veto men, then, of course, women don't learn anything about men materially. They don't increase their male IQ. So in a passive-aggressive way, they are controlling the entire milieu of relationships because a man wants the woman of his choice. He wants a woman with a good attitude, one that's height-weight proportional, and that does contribute to a woman's beauty. And he wants a woman who is communicative and fair-minded herself, as I expressed in those
Isn't it his responsibility to not settle? Why am I blaming a woman for a man settling? I'm letting you.
Okay, there's a little bit of a delay. No, what I'm saying is if there are five women in the room and there are five men, but the women have all conspired and colluded that we're not going to say anything to the men. The men must come to us in order for there to be any action or any socialization. And even when they come to us, if they don't do X, Y, and Z, we won't participate with them. So women are in effect. Go ahead.
Women are in effect, and then I'm gonna find out if women are doing that because I'm gonna get a woman on here to tell me that.
Absolutely right. And women are in effect controlling the dating arena. Okay, they're doing it passively, aggressively.
Right.
And if 73% of black women particularly, now I know some people quibble with that figure, but even if it's 50%. That is still a huge number of dateable women who say that they can't find, this is what they say, not me, they can't find a man on their socioeconomic nor educational level, which I say is a bunch of garbage based upon your inappropriate dating practices.
Okay, hold on.
And then
one
I
second,
say
Richard,
number
Richard,
three.
Richard, for one second, could you carry on? I got 9 minutes left, and I want to get a woman's point of view here. But let me say, first of all, in Sacramento, Jatina said, very good show. Richard made very good point, making a very good point right now. And then Thelma said, what about women and women? And I don't know if she's talking about women having sex with women. Elise said, I do agree to your statement, but it takes a real woman and a whole person to understand that it takes understanding ways too deep to communicate and be real. Be you, be me. Now, you said that women conspire, that they get, that if it's five men and five women, that the women will get in a room and conspire to not be social. Okay, hold on. Let me find out. I think we agree that Nina's pretty open and pretty smart, and she's not biased in either way, right? We both will agree that, right? I mean, throughout this conversation since we've been having.
Well, yeah, Nina has been pretty good. Yeah, I enjoy.
Okay, so
that's
who I'm going to ask. Nina,
okay, proceed.
Do women conspire? Did you guys get together and conspire? You know, if it's five of you and you see five of us, and do you guys get together and powwow and decide, you know, how it's going to go down, or is that innate?
You know, I think yes, I have to say yes to that, in that I have seen that happen. I have seen that occur a lot, and I don't think it happens all the time, but I think that it's more likely to happen with women and with women that are insecure women, and I think that our society has done a really good job in making us feel insecure, and that we need those breast implants, those nice heels, whatever. So we're sitting there really looking at the opposite group, the men, and we're thinking, are we good enough for them? And so therefore we put ourselves in a mind state of really what seems to be like, are they good enough to me? But really what it is are we good enough for them?
What do you think about that, Richard?
Well, she's corroborating the point I'm making.
She's corroborating.
That's an excellent point, and see, that means...
But for different reasons.
But they do converge. The point of it is they do converge.
But
go ahead, I'm sorry, we have a delay.
Okay, but not for... not under the auspices in which you speak.
But
it's
yes,
not
that too. I'm not being completely comprehensive because I can't, but I am speaking generally. Women do this in terms of their socialization, like they say to each other. If a man doesn't pay, then and they support each other in this. If a man doesn't pay, then don't go out with him. I've interviewed women and had them personally tell me, see, they don't care about a man's character. One woman told me, if a man doesn't pay for my dinner, which really hurt me, by the way, this really was a spike in the heart. She said, if a man doesn't pay for my dinner, really, I don't care about his character. And I said,
wow.
You mean you don't care how
like
well-developed
really messed up
man
woman.
Is? She
like
says,
really
no, I may as well
woman.
Go out by myself. A
yeah,
lot
but,
of women.
But you can't judge every woman by that. That's not every.
No, no, no. But if you correlate that 73% of women who profess that they can't find black men on their educational and financial level.
I've heard that. I've
yeah,
that
exactly. Soulmate Films put it out. The New York Times put it out. And so did ABC Nightline. All three of them converged on that. And they say 42% of black women actually it's 42.3%, have never been married. And so the reason for that primarily are the attitudes of the women. Now, like Nina just said, they have low self-esteem, and I believe that's true. A lot of women are commitment-phobic because they don't believe they deserve a good man. Okay, let's talk about it, because when you talk about it, you get it out, and you find that there are men that you are compatible with. In other words, it helps improve your psychological and emotional condition. And then I talk about if men and women are communicating on this level, it lessens the stress on men. Men die between 7 and 10 years prior to women. And you know the old adage, a live dog is better than a dead lion. So that's number three.
I never heard that adage.
Number four. Go ahead.
I never heard that adage, but I like it.
Yeah,
that's
I'm sorry, proverb.
You guys. Richard? Unfortunately, I have 4 minutes left, and I have to close this thing out. I want to say thank you to you. I want to say thank you to Nina.
Okay,
I want to say thank you.
Thank you
to Phyllis. I want to say thank you to Dr.
Thank
D.
You.
I want to say thank you to E-Dog. I want to say thank you to Selena. Robert, I want to say I'm disappointed in you.
Let's do a part two.
Well,
yes, there will be.
You know, we will do another part to this. Unfortunately, it won't be next week, guys, because I can't do it next week because, you know, we really try to mix up topics here so that we don't, you know, we don't bore people or we don't get stuck in just one topic. But let me say this, guys. My show isn't to solve anything right now today. It's to spark conversations, spark thoughts, your mind and to get it fertile, to get you in the process of thinking and interacting. And I'm hoping that what happens here is you all get in your own groups amongst each other, and when you find yourselves bashing the other side, stop and take a look at yourself and say, you know what, we're not going to fix it this way. Get to know you better. See, I know what self-evaluation does. Self-evaluation is a tough deal because it allows you to look at yourself, things you really don't care to look at. I know that because I've done it. Because there was a time when you all couldn't have had the conversation you had with me as your host, because throughout the conversation I would have been saying no, 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 and it would have been horrendous. The hosting would have been horrendous. The conversation would have never gotten started. But self-evaluation is a wonderful, wonderful tool. So I'm going to ask each of you who decide to embark on the journey and really trying to understand the conversation, really trying to get us on a communicative level where we can communicate with each other in a real language, man to woman, woman to man, that you first be responsible to deal with you. First and foremost, really getting to you. Know what you want. One thing I can say about Richard is Richard's position is strong because that's exactly who he is. I'm never trying to change somebody from exactly who they are. As a matter of fact, I applaud it. And I know that Richard is probably right because it's against the norm. Because the norm is the sheep and the parrot. You know them. You're around them every day. You work with a lot of them. Matter of fact, you may be one of them. I'm no sheep. I'm no parrot. Anybody who knows me knows I'm exactly a man. Everything about me is manly. I'm 5'7". When I'm on my tippy toes, I weigh 165 pounds, and I feel like I'm 10'10", 2,000 pounds. I'm a man. I love it. Learn how to be a woman and love it. And men, learn how to be men and love it. And then learn yourself and then communicate and love it. And you'll find walls, you'll find barriers and all kinds of things fall down right before your very eyes. And love it. I'll see you guys next Sunday as we discuss 5 minutes of fame. Is it worth 15 minutes of fame? Is it worth the pain? My name is Jay King. This is The Way I See It. I thank you all for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the show. See you next week.
I am so sorry. I am so sorry, everybody. Thank you, Sonia Burrell, for alerting me that there was no sound. And I think that I was just doing a great intro for the last 7.5 minutes, and I'm going to have to try to recreate that. This is The Real Delia, and this is The Real Delia Show. The last 2 hours we were listening to a rebroadcast of the J. King Network show, The Way I See It with J. King, and it was about 3 years old, and Angel M., Galactic Scientist, and myself were having a good laugh about some of the things that were talked about on that show. But now this is The Real Delia Show. I am talking to you from here in San Francisco, where the weather today is sunny and warm. We don't have any rain right now, but we need some. So some of you in the other places on the planet that are experiencing rain, if you have any extra, please send it to the San Francisco Bay Area, because California has been declared in a drought condition, and they want me to cut down my water usage, and my showers are already short enough, so I don't want to take shorter showers. Today's subject is anniversaries, and some of you, probably all of you that I see, are probably wondering what is a damniversary. We all know what an anniversary is. An anniversary is a day that we acknowledge as the date that somebody got married or the day that they got their new job. Or in my case, last Sunday was the 1 year anniversary of this show. And today is the 4 year anniversary of my son and his lady's relationship when they first met and fell for each other. And now we're just waiting for the wedding day. So anniversaries are cause of celebration. Damniversary, spelled D-A-M-N-I-V-E-R-S-A-R-Y, almost like anniversary, but the beginning is dam. And I'll tell you the story about that in a little while. Damniversary is basically the opposite of the anniversary, just like out is the opposite of in. A damniversary is an anniversary of when something bad has happened, and it's something that's not celebrated. We don't celebrate damniversaries. And I created that word because on November 19, 2010, my daughter died, and it was sudden, violently, and tragic. So what has happened is November 19, 2010, I lost my daughter. My grandson lost his mother. My son lost his sister. My co-parent lost his daughter. And a lot of people lost a beautiful woman because of, I believe, somebody else's action. The situation under which that she passed away, thank you, Angel, the situation under which she passed away has never been exactly resolved. So it leaves myself and my family with unresolved feelings about what happened. And there's a little debate within the family about what we think happened. But that's probably all I can say about that. The main point is children. And whenever someone asks me today if I have children, I say I had 2 children. And if they hear what I said, then they kind of ask me, why did I say that? And I say, well, I gave birth to 2 children, but one of them is no longer here. I still have my son, but my daughter is not here anymore. And I try not to go into a lot of details. But when people ask, I'm pretty well quite honest, which is part of the reason why my name is The Real Delia, because I am real. And everything I tell you on my show will be absolutely real. Sometimes I may have to withhold information for the sake of other issues that I can't explain in this forum, because this is a worldwide forum. Anybody from anywhere in the world can be listening. So people that have issue with things that I have said about my daughter's death, I don't choose to put this out there in a public forum because I don't want somebody to say I libeled or slandered them, but I do have my own opinions about what happened on that day. Back to the point. Like I said, Angel, a damniversary is something bad that happened. Our country has damniversaries, and December 7th is one. December 7, 1941, I believe, was the day that Pearl Harbor was attacked, launched the United States into World War II, and 9/11, 2001. Obviously, every year we remember 9/11 is a damniversary of when the World Trade Center was attacked by 20 individuals, well, not 20 individuals, but the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and the attempted attack on the White House by three planes that were being taken over by, what do they call them, extremist Islamist members of Al-Qaeda. So these are damniversaries. There's also the damniversary, April 20th, I can't remember the year now, but that was the attack on Columbine with the three young men who killed so many other people, children and teachers at Columbine High School. And last year, December 14th, was the one-year damniversary of the attack on Sandy Hook, the kindergarten and first grade children and teachers that were killed, 26 of them, not to mention the young man killed himself. So 27 people actually died on that day. So these are damniversaries. Also, there's dates that I don't remember, but I would consider, I believe it was October 28th or 29th, when Hurricane Katrina struck New Orleans, and that was devastating. So these are things worthy of the word damniversary. And I hope that everybody that's listening will feel free to help me promote this word, because I made up the word, and it's important to me, and the meaning of it is important to me because it has a significance in my life, but I think that a lot of other people can relate to it. To tell you a little bit about myself, I am a cab driver here in the city of San Francisco. When I go to work, which is 4 days a week, I meet maybe 40 or more new people every day that I go to work. So I meet over 100 new people just about every day that I go to, just about every week. And I have a lot of conversations, and I've mentioned the word damniversary to many people, and they immediately understand it because it's not really a hard thing to understand. The way I came up with the word is this. For 3 years, 2011, 12, and 13, whenever November 19th was approaching, people would ask me, what was I going to do on that day? And to me, that is a very strange question because I celebrate birthdays and I celebrate anniversaries, but I don't know what to do for a damniversary. I'm not going to celebrate the day my daughter died. I just can't do that. So that's why it's something not celebrated. And I kept saying, oh, that damn anniversary is coming up, that damn anniversary. And I heard myself this past November 19th saying, that damn anniversary, that damn anniversary. And it occurred to me that rather than remark on that damn anniversary, I could just call it that damniversary, the damniversary. And I think that that word is valid. And I'm campaigning on Twitter. I'm also posting on Facebook about the word damniversary. Time goes on. You will probably see it hopefully pop up. And my hope and prayer is that the word damniversary becomes the word of the year for 2014. And the reason why is because last year's word of the year was selfie, S-E-L-F-I-E, a picture one takes of themselves and posts on social networking, social media. And that is a pathetic word of the year, in my opinion. And that's what you guys are hearing right now because no one has called me up. Our call-in number is 347-205-9366. And if you press the number 1, you can talk to me on the air. And in the meantime, in between time, I'm going to play a little Junior, My Life. And we have a 4-minute music break. Call in. All right, everybody. That was My Life by L. DeBarge Jr., son of L. DeBarge, of the famous DeBarge family. So just in case you don't know, now you know. And that's right off of the Welcome to the Lion's Den CD. I believe actually it's just called Lion's Den. I have the CD around here someplace. But that's one of my favorite songs on there. And one of the other co-hosts on the J. King Network thinks that I have a crush on L. DeBarge Jr., but he's actually younger than my kids. So I just admire good music, and I'm glad that Sonia Burrell says she was feeling it. And I thought that that was a good song for what we're talking about, because the word Damiversary came from my own experience in my life. That's what made me inspired to make that word. And it's kind of funny when you think about it that it hadn't been introduced into the lexicon already, because I'm sure that many of you have Damiversaries in your life. Unfortunately, it seems to be the state of the world today that a lot of us have seen and experienced tragedy. Either somebody in our family, or maybe a significant other, or maybe we even witnessed something terrible happen. To tell you the truth, I say that my daughter's death is my personal damiversary, because what happened to her is the most significant thing that changed the way I relate to the world for the rest of my life. But even before that, there were other days that I could have also called properly damiversaries. There was the day that a man who I adopted as a nephew of mine was declared brain dead after having been burnt up in his car. That was a horrific day for me. And then, oddly enough, strangely enough, and sadly enough, 3 days after that happened, I was witness to a brutal murder. And that's another day that had an impact on me. And I didn't even know the woman who was stabbed to death. But unfortunately, I was witness to her being stabbed to death. And I was the first person to call 911. And later on, there was detectives calling me to find out if I was going to be able to testify. And I was not, just for the simple reason that I was too far away to be able to sit in the courtroom and point to the murderer and say, that's him. But because I was the first person who called 911, they thought that I would be a valuable witness. But I could not finger far away. But I did see somebody stabbed to death. And it was really quite frightening for me and shocking, because what actually had happened that day was, well, I don't know the whole story what happened. I know what I saw. And what happened was I was visiting the mother of the young man who had just been declared dead a few days prior. And all of a sudden, we heard somebody outside screaming, help, help, he's killing me. And we ran to the door and looked. And the woman was outside, and she was completely naked. And the man was stabbing her to death. And there was actually two knives used. And, you know, she was screaming. He was stabbing her to death. I was calling 911. Ultimately, she died. People passed by very close to the action of what was going on. And they said something to the man, you know, in the effect of, oh, God, dude, cut it out, or whatever they said. I don't remember exactly what I heard, but they were like, wow. But nobody was going to be able to stop what was going on, because this man was in a rage, probably drug-induced, I would imagine. But that date is another day that I feel would be worthy of the name Damiversary. And I do remember when that was. So there are a lot of things. And like I said, there are days that are damniversaries in the history of this country, in various communities. So I ask all of you, when you have time, if you're on Twitter, you can tweet, promote damniversary, DAMNIVERSARY, and in parentheses, the definition, anniversary of something bad / not celebrated, close parentheses, for word of the year 2014. And the hashtag is selfie sucks. Because like I said, the word of the year last year was selfie. And to me, it sucks as a word of the year. I think the word of the year should be something more important. And we have a call from Georgia. Georgia, I believe I know who it is. Hello, 404-992. How may I help you, sir?
It's supposed to go like this. Georgia, Georgia, no
Don't
peace
hang up.
Will
Nobody
I find.
Hang up. And,
hey,
and a
hey, just...
angel, galactic scientist, Sonia Burrell, the Boo One, they are all hanging up.
Don't let them hang up. Hey, I just want that damniversary. I really like that. And, you know, I was just thinking back on some anniversaries that I felt that way about. And one would have been, I think it was back in July 18th, 1966 or 67, of the Huff riots in Cleveland. And it was really horrible, man. Oh, yeah, it was really horrible. And, you know, I think back on that, and, you know, nobody talks about that, you know, even though, you know, it started because of you know, a lot of race things, you know. But nobody
right.
thinks back on those days. We forget about those days, just like back in Greenwood in 1921, maybe, 27, somewhere back in there. I mean, who even know about it? Kids today don't even know about the Greenwood riots when the Black Wall Street was, you know, tried to, a bunch of white folks came in and burnt the place down, you know, and, you know, killed a lot of black folks there. You know, that's a damniversary. So it's a lot of days like that that, you know, that are out there that, you know, we don't know about, you know. We don't know about
that's
nobody
right.
talks about it. Yeah.
Jimmy, I'm going to just take a little minute. For those of you who don't know, this is Jimmy Kent, the famous Jimmy Kent, J. King's co-host on The Way I See It. Famous, not infamous.
I thought I gave my name. I guess I didn't.
No, you just start talking to me like we do when we're not on the radio. It's all right.
Okay.
Jimmy, I don't know if you heard, but, you know, I played one of my young boyfriend's songs already.
Oh, my God.
I already played El DeBarge Jr., My Life, and Sonia Burrell said she was doing it. That's the song, you know.
You're in love with that guy, man. I tell you that.
Love AJ number. Music.
AJ, nothing but a number. You want me to sing that song too?
No, we'll leave that one for we'll leave that for Aaliyah to do.
Okay, great. But I really like that damniversary.
So
I mean, it's a lot of dates. It's a lot of dates out there that are like that. You know, that I think about. You know, I think about, and I'm, you know, pretty sad about them. You know. So
and,
I
and
agree
it's
with
true.
You on that.
So. Mm-hmm. In my travels, you know, over the streets of San Francisco as a cab driver, I have talked to at least a few people each day that I will mention it to them, and every single person, they get it. I don't have to go into a whole long, hour-long show to explain to anybody what a damniversary is, because as soon as I tell somebody damniversary is a contraction from damn anniversary, and that it just simply means the anniversary of something bad that's not celebrated. They're like, oh, yeah. And this goes across racial, ethnic lines. And right now, I'd like to welcome my co-host, and then we're going to get the weather report, because I gave the San Francisco weather report, but I don't know what's going on in Atlanta and Cleveland. So can I have the Cleveland weather report, Six Eyes? Good evening, Six Eyes.
Good evening. The Cleveland Weather Report, it's a nice, fresh day. Not that cold, not that hot, just right.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And that was the weather report from Goldilocks, everybody. It's just
yeah.
right.
Mr. Kent, how's it going, sir?
How you doing, Six?
All right.
And now the weather report from Atlanta, Georgia.
Well, I ain't as good as Six, but you know, I think it got up to about 70 degrees today. Sunshine, 70 degrees. People are out with their shorts on. This morning they had on coats because it was pretty cold this morning, about 6 o'clock. And then, you know, then it changed to about 71 degrees, I think it got to. It was beautiful out there today, beautiful, beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
I know, I'm just shocked and stunned. I'm trying to find somebody with some extra rain so you all can send it to the San Francisco Bay Area because we are in drought. And the governor is asking us to reduce our water usage by 20%. And really, I take short enough showers as it is. I can't take no shorter showers. So, you know, I was hoping I could start taking longer showers, but they want us to reduce the water use. Oh, I know what I can do. No, that won't work. I was going to say maybe I'll just have to, you know, shower with a friend and conserve water. Anyways.
There you go. There you go. Well, why don't you get about three people in there, you know? You live in San Francisco. You know some more people from the JKN around there. You guys get together and have a, you know, three.
Hey,
you guys
get a shower. That's the slogan. I mean, what's that sign?
Okay, okay, okay. We don't, we're way off subject. I'm sorry I brought up that. I should have known. I get the two of you guys on here, and I start being mischievous, and you're going to make me get worse. And Angel had to leave for now, but she gives us all her best wishes, peace, and blessings. And she gave us some bouquets of flowers. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Sonia. She said, I'm funny. Sonia Burrell is with us, y'all. Sonia Burrell, who I hear also is a singing talent. So we'll be listening for her CD to come out.
All right. All right. Can't wait for that to come out.
All right.
What about my singing? What about my songs? You want to hear another one?
Yeah.
Six Eyes Month, he wasn't around for the first one, and if he wants to really hear the
other one. I'm sorry, I forgot to mute Six Eyes before you asked him that. Lord.
Hey, but you know, I was thinking about another date, which is February the 21st, when Malcolm X was killed, you know. I mean, that's another damn anniversary, you know. It's a lot of dates
exactly.
Like that, you know, yeah, we don't celebrate those dates, you know. They go past
right.
Without us even knowing about it. February 21st is gone. Who talked about it? You know, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, it's really interesting that you bring that up because yesterday I was listening to National Public Radio, the local public broadcasting network over here, as
NPR.
I do most weekends. NPR, that's right. And they were talking about this actress, and she passed away at the age of 92, and I can't remember her name now. And they said that she was – they had to really talk a while to make everybody know who she was. They said that she was famous for playing Alice Cramden in the 1960s Honeymooners. You know, so that was Jackie Gleason – I believe. And so, you know, The Honeymooners, that show. Jim,
yeah,
you're almost old enough
that.
To remember that.
Oh, no, I ain't almost. I'm not almost old enough to remember that. I actually used to watch The Honeymooners. I love Jackie Gleason. I used to love watching that, yeah.
Yeah.
One more time. And he used to say, one more time, and pow, right to the moon.
To the moon,
like
Alice. To the moon, Alice.
Yeah, one more time. So, yeah, I remember that.
And this is
your
TV nostalgia minute.
Yeah, I'm 57 years young, and I love it, and I love it.
Praise the Lord. I'm just five behind.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
And while everybody is doing their LOLs and their LMBOs and their SMHs, I know there's a whole bunch of SMHs out there. While everybody's doing that, don't forget the PTL. Praise the Lord all the time. I use that for those of
you who
are not my Facebook friends. I'm on Facebook, Delia L. Smith, because that's my real name, and the quick way to get to me is facebook.com/DeliaLS1, the number one. And I have a second page on there. It's not really my page. It's a group that was started because I was in a particularly down day, which is a thing that happens. And I messaged several of my friends on Facebook, and I said, please finish this sentence for me, because right now I can't think of a single reason to be happy. And the sentence was, today I am happy because, ... And so I asked everybody to help me think of reasons to be happy. So there is a group called Today I Am Happy Because. And it's an open group, but people have to request, and then either me or the other administrator, Brianna, will accept mostly everybody. And the purpose of that group is to encourage and uplift each other and to give our reasons for being happy. You can post every single day if you want to. Anytime you think about it, you can go and post, or you can read why other people are happy that day and like their comments and comment the regular stuff we do on Facebook. It's been a blessing for me, and I'm happy to report that the last time I looked at it, the Today I Am Happy Because group has grown to over 1,200 people.
Good, good, good.
I was happy
to see all you 1,200 people in church next Sunday, as well as you, Mr. Kitt and Ms. Smith. If I don't see you all in church, I'm going to assume it's in a certain kind of way.
Today I was happy because
I like that. I'm going to look for that.
Yeah, today I'm happy because. And yesterday I was happy because it was my son's 34th birthday. And so that's a happy thing.
Birthday.
And today, yes, happy birthday to Tony Smith, the firstborn child and favorite son of Delia Smith. I used to always tell my son and my daughter that they were my favorite son and my favorite daughter.
Well, that's great. Well, today I'm happy because Papa Six Eyes came to visit me. I wasn't expecting he came by.
And that is an excellent reason to be happy. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And also today I am happy because it's my son and Kendra's four-year anniversary. She has been putting up with him for 4 years. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That was our first moment. I have to tell you all, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I have to tell you all the reason why I had that little praise the Lord moment is because for years I was telling people that my son's type in women. You know how some people have types? You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know I do know what Six Eyes type is. But anyways, some women have types and men have types, what we're drawn to. My type when I was in high school was the basketball player. Tall, dark, and slim. You know, basketball player. Tall,
Robert,
dark, handsome, slim.
Yeah, babe.
Okay. We're going to just let that one go this time. So my son's type, I used to tell everybody, my son's type was petite, pretty, and crazy. Because he just kept getting these little petite girls that were crazy as I don't know what. Matter of fact, the mother of my second grandson, which is my son's son, she stayed with us for a while, and we lived in a upstairs flat. It was two stories up from the ground. There was the garage, there was our neighbor below us, and then us. So there was like about 30-something stairs to get up to where we lived. Anyways, her and Tony would get into arguments, and then she would throw his clothes out the window, right down on a popular, you know, well-traveled street. And my son would have to run downstairs to retrieve his clothes before somebody picked through his good shoes and so forth. And so she did that a few times, and then one day he got tired of it and threw her clothes out the window.
There you go. Better the clothes than her.
Because he said, you keep throwing my clothes out the window, I'm going to throw your clothes out the window. So my son and Kendra, happy anniversary to them. And I am so glad he finally found a woman who is petite, beautiful, and not crazy. Once again,
and for that, you get the new Jimmy Kent album. We'll be bringing that up to you after the show. Jimmy sings all your favorite tunes. It doesn't matter what type of song it is, he's going to sing it. From commercials TV theme songs, he's going to sing it. Your R&B love songs, he's going to sing that too.
Okay, now since Six did that, you have to tell me what Six type is, okay? Delia, what is Six type? What is
Can
this
I tell
type?
Him Six Eyes?
Yeah,
he
no,
likes
you need
the
to
weapon.
Tell me. He just sat up here and got me. So you get him. What
okay,
is this type?
Do you remember that song by the time when Morris Day said, "Damn, girl, how you get all that in them jeans?"
Yeah, that's his type.
He likes
women who fill out their jeans.
Yeah. You remember the episode of Purple Rain? Said I want the perfection.
More than that.
Okay. Well.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
Oh my goodness. And do you know what Six Eyes says when he finds one of those women?
Damn.
It's time for another musical break. Well, after that, then he says, "Shake and Dance with Me" by Confunction.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. That was the Bay Area's own Confunction with Shake and Dance with Me. I think that song's probably from the 80s or the 90s, but it's still a classic in my book.
I would go with the first one. I would go with the first one. That was from the 80s.
Okay. You know, you are the music encyclopedia, so I always, you know, defer to you when I don't know things. And just to clarify for everybody, and I want to do my Miss Marianne impression because I think you guys missed it when I accidentally started the show with myself on mute for about, what was that, about 10 minutes, I think? It was ridiculous. And nobody was here to tell me. I see a Minty and Galactic Scientist, Sonia, Taboo One, and JFK Logistics in the chat room. And we have callers on the line, and we're having a good time here because today is an anniversary. It's not a damn anniversary in my life.
Hey, before you do that,
I am very happy.
That's right. Before you do that, all you listeners, go ahead.
That's what I was going to say. I do believe I would like for Six Eyes to help me out, because I am not so good at remembering what all is going on the Six Eyes Music Network.
Well, what you all can do is write this down, 424-243-9617. That's 424-243-9617. That's the Six Eyes Radio Show, 7 days a week, great programming, on demand and live 7 days a week. Or you can simply Google Six Eyes Radio. Let me spell that for you. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, Radio, R-A-D-I-O, Six Eyes Radio. Simply Google and follow. Great programming 7 days a week, and Six Eyes is available on demand. Whenever you need me, I'm there. Six Eyes Radio, hey, I love y'all.
And he does it all because he loves you 7 days a week. And now the JKN is also a seven-day-a-week schedule, and we have some new shows here on the JKN. Not only starting Sunday do you have The Way I See It, followed by The Real Dilia each and every Sunday, but right after us, coming up at 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern, is 5G Sports with Derek Taylor and Hakeem Adey. 7 p.m. for 90 minutes, Everything Lakers with Laker girl Stephanie Beard. Monday through Friday, 8 a.m., Pacific, 11 o'clock Eastern for 2 hours, Kings in the Morning. And several days a week, they're followed by a third hour. New programming on Monday at 4 o'clock Pacific, Full Belly Radio with Dave Tolliver and L. Garth. 7 o'clock Pacific, The Music Industry, yeah. Tuesday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, Tony B. from the D and the Love and Happiness Show with DLW. And let's see, 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific is the Glass House with Lady T. Spence and Simi Braxton. They have 5:30, the J. Ryle Show, which is also on the J. Ryle Show, the TGARS network, as well as on the J. King network at 7 o'clock Pacific, The Music Industry. Thursday, we have It's All About the Music, Damn It, with my man, Mr. Eric McAllister, otherwise known as EMAC. He's my little secret. That's how we should keep it. Huh?
I said, that's right. I was going to forget that part.
Yeah. Friday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern, The Basement with Herschel Myers Jr., 6:30 p.m., The Honeycomb Hideout with Johnny Graham Cracker Davis. And on Saturdays from 12:30 p.m., The Funky Rhythm Connection, followed by The Pastor's Ex-Wife, Lynn Littlejohn. 3 o'clock p.m., 6 Pacific, The Cool Critics, which also includes Six Eyes of Six Eyes Radio, along with CC Person, Anna Redding, help me out, Lynn Tolliver Jr., the one and only, the great and the great and magical Lynn Tolliver, Valsine Young,
and Aaron, Randy Chair and Aaron. Mm-hmm.
That's right. The Cool Critics, a not to be missed show. They talk about important issues every single week. and I'm driving the cab, and half the time I miss it. But a lot of the shows on the J. King Network are now available on the TuneIn app. You can download the free TuneIn app to your iPhone or your Android phone or your iPad or your Android tablet. And
or your rookie dial phone.
All... Not your rotary dial phone in the 21st century.
Oh, my God.
Listen to the Cool Critics. And one more show on Saturday, not to be missed, and I don't want to be missing this, Musical Context with Herschel Myers, Jr., followed by Conversations with Aminti the writer. And thank
all
you
right.
so much, Aminti, for joining me today. I hope that you will help me in promoting the word for the year, damniversary, because
hello,
the more people get exposed to that, the more traction it will get, as Dr. Phil says, and maybe by September 11th, President Obama will acknowledge the word damniversary. So we are coming very close to the end of the show. That's my goal, it really is. We are coming very close to the end of the show. So I want to give Jimmy, if you're still there, if you haven't started playing with Cookie or something, a chance to have a word.
So you what know what? You're just like Jay. You can't say nothing around you, because when you say something around you in private, you break right up on the radio, just like Jay does. I think you've been hanging around and listening to him too much, so I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you get away with that one. I like to say something about the damniversary and anniversary. I have a date that it's an anniversary and a damniversary on the same day. The best sister in the world was born March the 4th. That was my sister, Deborah Kent. Beautiful young lady, the best sister in the world. But Ron Banks, my favorite singer, died on that date also. Ron Banks from the Dramatics. Yeah, so it's a damniversary and an anniversary at the same time. So I get it, Delia, and I will promote damniversary. But let me just say this. Don't be talking about what we talk about no more. You hear me?
Yes, sir.
Right.
And FYI, for those of you who don't know, Cookie is his pet dog.
Okay.
God, I see that as a word. I didn't even say that.
Yeah, you know, I thought Cookie was okay.
Yeah, he thought Cookie was a young lady waiting for you to get off the radio and come play with her. I know what he thought.
I thank you for questions. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, Delia, you getting it. You getting it, girl. You getting it.
Okay, you all heard it here first. I'm getting a spanking later. Go ahead, Sasha.
Well, Demiversary. Ah, God, I've had a damniversary on August 8th of 08. I lost my sister. And I had a damniversary coming up in April 24th is my brother. I lost him. So I have brother and sister in the sky looking down on me. And March 2nd, I lost my father's father. He would have been, had he lived right now, he'd be 103.
Granddad's size.
Yeah, he was 95 when he passed.
Six for short.
Yeah, he was 95 when he passed, and he was very supportive of me and my music. He actually taught me Into the Garbage Before Dad Flips. That's his music. You know, a lot of people know that Every Good Boy Does Fine, but that was another way he taught me how to remember my notes in music. And
okay.
Just a great guy, man. Just a great guy. So, yeah.
All right. Well, I hope everybody has a blessed and happy Sunday evening. This has been The Real Delia with my co-host Six Eyes and my very special friend JFK, also known as Jimmy Kent, also known as JFK.
Also
and
known as Red Hands after the show.
Also known as who?
Red Hands.
Okay.
He knows what
right,
I'm talking about.
Okay. All right. Okay. And I just want everybody, to the very best of your ability, think about why you can be happy. And just to help you out, we'll have a little Tracy Cruz. And bye-bye.
Let's celebrate our lives today.
I'm blessed.